Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. Watch this.
So we've all seen this a few times over the years, but I was reminded of it yesterday. I don't think there's anything sadder as a sports fan than watching an absolute stud, an absolute Hall of Famer fade away on the field. You know, whether it's, you want to go back to Willie Mays or Andre Johnson, that happened. Justin Tucker's washed.
Yeah, man.
He's done.
Yeah, man. It's
sad.
The game leaving him. Yeah. And it's not the first year that it started happening last
year,
too.
Exactly, yeah.
But I think we all are in that place where we won't believe it until it's abundantly clear. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know that it's abundantly clear just yet, but we're getting close to that being the case with the missing kicks that he absolutely would normally hit.
Yeah.
Like, it started with, all right, he's missing some of the long kicks, but it's like, hey, man, that happens to everybody.
Yeah.
When he was missing some of them easier kicks last year, I was like, ooh, I don't know. And it feels like that is
44-yarder yesterday, something like that?
That's where he's in, man. It's done.
I mean, you can argue, in fact, some would say it's not even an argument, the best kicker ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we're in that place, right? Who else are you putting up against him in that instance, right? Like,
Vinatieri. Yeah, something like that.
I always had an affinity for, what's my guy's name? They used to play with the Raiders, Sebastian Janikowski.
He was good on Madden. Mm-hmm. Madden. He might have been the best kicker in Madden history, man.
Right.
But it's sad, man.
Yeah, man. It's tough. It's funny that you did this with the kicker, because I'm sure that there are people, like football players.
No, he's listening. The best there's been.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
One of the few that I think people would give him credit for. But yeah. And what's tough is having to, not just watching him fade, but knowing when to say goodbye. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, if you're just being an organization and like respecting and appreciating their own, you let them fade and, you know, let them go in their own time. But also as a business, you're like, hey, we kind of need to turn this over. We need production from this position.
Yes.
So yeah, that's tough. You're right. Watch this. These are my confessions. So in the past, I think a couple years ago, I was relatively early because I said that at that point, this is the year that Geno Smith puts it all together, right? Like, I was able to see that coming. People were like, nah, and then he came out here, put it all together, and I looked like a genius, right? This year, I'm not the earliest, but somebody tweeted me during the course of this game and was like, is this the year that Sam Darnold puts it all together? And ladies and gentlemen, this is the year that Sam Darnold puts it all together. Like, it's just the reason why I was there on Geno Smith is, like, I remember Geno Smith in New York. Geno Smith was starting to put things together at that point, and then Ikan Ekwali went and broke his jaw because that man did not give him his money and told him that, what are you gonna do about it, which is the wrong thing to do to a grown man who you owe money. But yeah, that happened. Remember that he almost got a shot in with the Giants. Like, he just never got his opportunity to get back in there, so he was just a backup. Geno Smith eventually got a shot with the Seattle Seahawks, and you get to see what has always been there. Sam Darnold has always had the arm talent. He's had it's just, hey man, can you keep him in situations away from the pressure where he then starts making some of those dumb mistakes? People started getting to that place with the Niners. We're like, hey man, if he has an opportunity to play, he might be able to do that. He just didn't have that opportunity. Now with the Vikings, he has an opportunity to really play with that offense coordinator. Yeah, man, I'm
you're
now,
here.
I'm in.
You're here.
I'm
By in. The way, I
he
did
puts
look
it
up.
All together.
He's younger than Joe Burrow.
Yeah,
by a
month,
like 3 or 4 months, something like that. And no, I don't think that's outrageous. And I saw somebody tweet this, and I'm not ready to go there. It's not my words. But I saw an NFL writer tweet this, Reggie. He said, like, if you're looking just on performance and what they're doing for their team, he probably should be leading the MVP race.
Oh, gosh, that's so annoying. It's too early for this.
I don't necessarily
agree.
You're
right. Like,
but look at the first three games, their performance and his performance.
Actually, I'm not doing all that.
We might as well throw Andy Dalton in that conversation, too.
Right. Well, that was just one game.
Andy Dalton is the only quarterback to throw for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns thus far, though. But, Sam Darnold, he's had just, coming into this game, he had the fourth most wide open throws, or I guess the better way of saying that is the fourth fewest tight window throws.
Yeah.
He's been throwing to dudes booty butt naked open.
Yeah.
But because of the circumstances and his talents, he's putting it all together this year. Watch this.
Real quick, this is not my confession, but this kind of a mini confession to Lopez's confession about Justin Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
I got to confess, when you said Justin, I thought you was going Verlander, man.
Hey, you know what?
You was talking about Watch Hall of Famers, and when you said Justin, I was about to be like, yeah.
Hey.
I hate to see it, man, but you was talking about Justin. I thought you was going Verlander.
Yeah. I was, but, I mean, you know. Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, I was about to be like, man, it's a damn
don't,
shame.
Don't say
what they,
it.
Yeah. It's a damn shame what they did to that dog.
Yeah.
But no, this is my real confession. I'm a little disappointed in the University of Texas fans.
Oh,
okay. I rock with UT, man. I like their fans and all that stuff. But like, why are we trying to make an excuse for Michigan? Like, don't sit there and root for Michigan. And try to make yourself feel better that you beat.
Happens all the time.
Yeah, because I guess apparently, I guess people were saying they beat a bad Michigan team.
Mm-hmm.
And so this week, I feel like a lot of UT fans were cheering on Michigan to beat the brakes off of whoever they was playing, just so they can
USC.
make the win a couple weeks ago much better.
Yeah,
I'm just like, y'all the number one ranked team
in the
country.
That's the one part that is really strong for your argument. You're the number one team in the country.
Yeah, you don't have to do that. Like, y'all not a team that's trying to get into the playoffs or y'all trying to get ranked and all that stuff. Ain't nobody making the case. Y'all the number one team.
Yeah,
why are we doing that?
I had a natural want to fight against that one because I'm a little bit of a contrarian. But two, like, I was like, no, man, they've been in this place where they've been a little bit more down bad than people have given them credit for. However, you're right. Number one team in the country, not just because of that. We're in a 12-team playoff world, man. Like, you lose a couple of games, as long as they're not crazy ones, you're going to be fine.
Yeah, y'all are the best team in the country right now. We ain't got to sit there and say,
you don't need style points.
Yeah, Michigan is actually not a pretty okay team, and we beat them 2 weeks. Y'all ain't got to do that, man. Y'all the number one team. Look, a win is a win. Y'all beat them. Mm-hmm. That's all that matters. We ain't got to do all of that stuff, man. We're not sitting there making a case for the win.
I like where your head's at there, because that's very strong.
I was disappointed, man. Watch this. These are my confessions.
Every once in a while, you get that big reminder that, you know, people are still or can be awesome. And so you guys know I wasn't here Friday. I hate to leave football Fridays during the season, but we had our big event, and you guys know about it. You and Figgy, the Bite Me podcast, Feeding Frenzy, just a little thing we put together, kind of as a thank you, maybe raise a little bit of money for a couple of charities that are near and dear to me, and it was amazing. I mean, I was like blown away, man. We had more than 500 people show up. We raised more than $46,000 from listeners just wanting to be a part of it, just wanting to, you know, obviously listeners here too, wanting to help Heroes on the Water and Texas Boys Outdoors, the two charities I work with. And they raised $46,000. We had a huge time, meals, drinks, fun, fishing, all that stuff. So I just walked away from there very proud and happy, you know, obviously. But, like, you know, people are good. You know, you just need that reminder for people to gather. It was really awesome.
I'm happy for you, man. We missed you on Friday, but I was like, hey, man, he's handling his business. And I'm glad that it ultimately paid out in a way, or paid off rather, in a way that was worth the while.
And no more stress. Watch this.
These are my confessions. I believe it was after this this particular Vikings game with the Texans that at the end, the quote, "Vikings will be at Green Bay and we'll have it on CBS," was uttered. My confession is I miss desperately having that nice split of NFC on Fox and ABC, or rather NFC on Fox and AFC on the CBS.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just feels weird not now having like a full NFC game on CBS in the ways that these things have just kind of crossed paths.
It used to be just automatic, right?
Yeah, it used to feel like you just had NFC games on Fox and AFC games on CBS, and they kind of had the feel, right? Each you know, conference had their own feel to it, and I understand, like, this is a nonsense thing to actually care about, but in that moment I was like, gross,
it feels like off.
It doesn't feel right.
No, I'm with you on that one.
It really is dumb. Like, as soon as I have the thought, I'm like, why do you care? But but the fact of the matter is I do care a little.
Yeah, absolutely. Watch this. These are my confessions.
These are my confessions. So I was at the Astros game, and I was I got some hot dogs and all that stuff, mm-hmm. and went to the part where they had the mustard, ketchup pumps, and barbecue sauce. And I ran across this barbecue sauce. It kind of made me chuckle a little bit. Mm-hmm. Breggy's Bomb Barbecue Sauce.
Yeah.
And I took a picture. I'll probably tweet the picture out. Yeah. But it said award-winning barbecue sauce, the OG.
Hey.
The OG. It says the OG.
Hey.
Well, it was not, so I lasted.
That's copyright infringement.
The OG.
How much money does he make? What's his latest contract?
I have no idea.
Well, it's about to be real nice here soon.
That's right.
But I seen that, and I immediately thought about John Lopez.
Well, you should have.
Like, damn, this is the OG sauce?
Dude, I got the domain name and everything.
Breggy got some OG sauce.
Hey, okay, I guarantee you. Go to OGsauce.com, see if you see Alex Bregman's face, huh? Huh? Huh?
I just thought that was it. I actually tried it. It wasn't bad. I don't think it's OG sauce, like real OG sauce.
Look at you. Yeah. But, look at you.
It wasn't bad. Yeah. It was cool.
I thought that was.
I wonder who had it first.
Now he's on the list with Laramie Tunsil.
Wow. You're like, don't bring him back. Don't even negotiate.
Man, that's copyright infringement.
You're good? All right, yeah. I got one more. Watch this. These are my confessions. So Anthony Joshua fought Daniel Dubois this Ooh. Weekend, Wembley Stadium. And buddy, he got rocked. Like man, it was not pretty. That man needs to go be a family man. Like Anthony Joshua's, ever since he fought, what was it, Andy Ruiz, 2019, mm-hmm. got the TKO, man. And Andy Ruiz out here looking like he did more grilling than he did boxing practice. Like just his general physique. I don't mean to body shame him.
I'm looking at it now.
His general physique is not one that makes you think, oh, man, that is a heavyweight boxer. But that man put the hurt on Anthony Joshua. And then Joshua came back around and got the win in the rematch. But since then, Joshua hasn't had, like, he's gotten wins, but he hasn't gotten victories over dudes that you really, stand on. And then he's gotten losses to, like, I mean, he lost to Alexander Usyk a couple of times. And then this one, Daniel Dubois, I didn't even really have much of, I didn't really think this was going to be a big deal. I wasn't even watching it. And that was how I felt about Andy Ruiz back in the day when he got done. Anthony Joshua, go sit down somewhere. I think the explanation, I should have gotten the audio of this, was also very sad, where he was just like, yeah, man, he didn't execute, but now I'm not going nowhere. And I'm like, you should.
You should, man. You probably should.
This is not becoming.
That knockout looked so bad. Like seeing him trying to get up off the ground, and his head was like, on the ground, and his feet was trying to get. It just looked so bad, man.
That's a sign.
So Anthony Josh, I mean, he might get back here and fight. I'm probably not gonna be watching it though. I'm good on that. I think you probably need to go home and be a family man. Those are our confessions here in the Loop Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on a Shoppers John Deere reaction Monday after the Texans fall 34-7 against the Vikings. Coming up next, let's go around the NFC or AFC South rather, because unfortunately the Texans lose. But what happened with the other teams that they're competing with for the division? We'll discuss that next.